Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we explore on this podcast. I share some of my stories, some of the big epic fails, and trust me, I'll be sharing a big fail I made about Genius Hour here in a couple of episodes later. All with the hopes of providing something of value that you can use as you empower students with voice and choice. We're going to do a 6-part podcast series on Genius Hour. These are 20% time projects. They're passion projects. There's a lot of different terms that people use for them. And they're basically fully self-directed. Students own the entire process. And I mention this because, you know, one of the things that I love about Genius Hour is this discovery that I made as a teacher, that nothing is shallow. So a little backstory. Just the other day, probably a week or so ago, my daughter's dance studio had this dance from Sufjan Stevens, this song Love Yourself, and it nearly moved me to tears. It was subtle, it was powerful, and it was this message on gender dynamics and body positivity and mental health all wrapped into one particular dance. The choreography was creative, it was different, and although I don't understand dance, I'm trying to. I used to consider dance to be shallow. I didn't get it, but I also didn't try to get it. It's way easier to mock what you don't understand than to step into that space and say, help me understand this. I want to understand. I also used to consider fashion to be shallow. It's just clothing, right? But then I had this group of students who chose to write a fashion blog for their Genius Hour project, and they blew me away with what they wrote. One student wrote about the politics of hair, about being an African-American girl, and about the choices and decisions and the power dynamics inherent in just choosing whether or not to wear your hair natural. I never thought about hair the same way again. Another girl wrote about how her mom had faced gender discrimination in Syria, where she was forced to wear a burqa. And then later, when she was in America, she finally had the chance to wear a hijab. But then she was told on the bus that she was, quote, dressed like a terrorist. And the writer who said that to her then spat in her face. And I never thought about clothing the same way again. Video games, sports, fashion, dance, slime, right? These are all things that seem shallow on the surface. Skateboarding seems shallow, but it's also part of a massive, major movement. There's nothing shallow under the surface. Nothing is shallow. Instead, shallow is simply a shallow understanding of an idea or a topic or a discipline. And this is why I love Genius Hour. It reminds me again and again that there's no such thing as a shallow topic, just a shallow understanding of that topic. And with Genius Hour, students build on their strengths and their ideas and their prior knowledge so they can actually go deeper on these subjects so that they don't have a shallow understanding themselves. And often these things that seem like a waste of time become the hidden knowledge and skills and ideas that make us more innovative as adults. I mention this because I saw this myself when I was a kid and then who I am now. Here's what I mean. One of the most frequent questions I get when I do a workshop or a keynote is, how do you create sketch animation videos? I've had people ask me that in like rural Nebraska and in, you know, downtown New York, in the Netherlands, in Australia, in Hong Kong. I get this question everywhere. And I find it fascinating because I spent years feeling like my videos were, well, a waste of time. For me, these goofy little sketch videos have always been something I do purely for fun as a way to process information, to think through concepts, and sometimes to just have an escape, right? I begin sketching out things and drawing and making the videos while I listen to a podcast. And that is my escape. But it's not only that. I grew up feeling guilty about my incessant doodling. I had a few teachers warn me about being off task when I would doodle on the margins or on the notebooks. I would be told, you know, to take real notes, Cornell notes, rather than sketch notes. And I sometimes wondered if I had ADD because I couldn't focus if I wasn't sketching. As a college student, I would wonder if I should be taking real notes instead of scribbling ideas out in pictures and symbols and arrows. When I became a teacher, I would sketch out ideas during professional development, and real teachers would be taking legitimate notes or maybe just using their time wisely to grade papers. I would sit down late at night and work on animating a video and then feel guilty about not doing something more productive. But now these sketches are a big part of how I express myself. You won't find a blog post or a video or a book of mine or a presentation, a keynote, without my sketches. When I teach, my sketches are all over my slideshows. It's what I do. They become a part of how I share ideas when I teach. I can't teach and not sketch. When I taught middle school, I regularly sketched out ideas on the whiteboard. And in other words, the very activity that felt like a waste of time has become the most practical element in my work. My good friend AJ Giuliani, who's an expert on Genius Hour, uses the term scratch your itch to describe the seemingly serendipitous way that passion projects go from a waste of time to a unique opportunity. And this is what happens when you geek out on a design podcast and then become better in the design of your own class. Or that time you spent learning how to code helps you design systems to become a better building administrator. The time you spend drawing, you start using it in the classroom. We see it all the time. And some of the greatest innovations ever happen when people chase their curiosity outside of their domain or their discipline. Darwin studied geology, but he rocked the world. Get the geology joke? I know it's a dad, right? I'm a dad. Get dad jokes. On the theory of evolution, Kahneman and Tversky spent years geeking out on how people make decisions. And at first, their work wasn't taken serious in psychology, but eventually it rocked the world both of behavioral psychology and of economics. In other words, there's a power in choosing things that seem off task or unimportant in pursuing your passion. And that's what you get with 20% time. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't learn the things you're supposed to learn. We're going to be getting into later on in a future podcast how to fit things into your topic, how to connect them to your standards, how to make time for it, how to use structure so that it doesn't just become a free-for-all. But I wanted to spend this first time just thinking about why we have Genius Hour. So here are 7 reasons to pilot Genius Hour projects. Number 1, Genius Hour increases student ownership and buy-in. We want students to grow into self-directed learners who are both self-managers and self-starters. We know that our world is changing, that students will need to be self-directed if they are going to navigate the chaos and complexity of our rapidly changing world. But school traditionally focuses on the knowledge acquisition in a very teacher-directed way. Now, this isn't entirely bad. We need direct instruction to acquire specific concrete skills, to understand critical concepts. You are the pedagogical and content expert, but at some point, we should have student ownership. When students learn how to own their learning in Genius Hour, they own the entire process. Here, they not only decide the topic, but they also generate their own questions, find the sources for their research, determine their own strategy, and engage in project management. And all of these things allow them to move on this continuum of student agency, which is like student ownership, right? Student voice, from compliance, where they're doing things because they have to engagement, they're doing things because they're focused and they care about it, to empowerment, they're doing this because it's part of who they are. They're doing this because they truly own the process. So again, Genius Hour is this way that helps lead to students being self-directed learners. And number 2 is sort of an addition of that first point, right? I mean, they do this project management, media literacy, all of that stuff. And it's this idea that Genius Hour helps students become lifelong learners. So all of these skills that they're doing in Genius Hour, whether it's the project management, it's the critical thinking, the creativity, those things help them become lifelong learners. And often we send school home to the students via homework, but this is sort of the opposite way. This is backwards. This is saying, take your world, take the things you're interested in, take your questions, take your passions, and bring those into class as part of your Genius Hour project. Number three, Genius Hour teaches students the soft skills needed for a complex world. We often try to predict what students will need in the future, right? They're going to need to learn how to code. They're going to need programming. They're going to need to learn how to use a 3D printer. But sometimes we don't know what they're going to need. I mean, we talk about preparing students for jobs that don't exist yet. We don't know what they're going to need for the future. But if that's the case, shouldn't we recognize that the future is inherently uncertain? With Genius Hour, students learn the soft skills they need to navigate that complexity. Here they learn how to ask great questions and find answers. And through this process, they learn to communicate with experts and find key information. They learn how to launch their work to an audience and how to engage in marketing. They often learn how to work collaboratively. They learn how to listen to feedback. They develop a growth mindset. All of these things are needed. These are those soft skills that they will need for the rest of their life. Number four, Genius Hour teaches students to master the content in an authentic way. So if they engage in a Genius Hour project, they're mastering the content, whether it's the skills in language arts or the concepts in history or science. And when that happens, they're mastering it in a way that connects to their world. When we did Genius Hour math projects, it was no surprise that students did better on word problems because they were able to connect a scenario to a mathematical process. Number five, Genius Hour makes differentiated learning a reality. So this is the idea that if they're really engaged in a truly self-directed Genius Hour project, then they're going to be learning at their level. They're going to be thinking at their level. They're going to be able to do different types of work. You know, some students might produce say a 7-paragraph blog post, some students do a 2-paragraph blog post, and that's okay. So it just builds in the differentiated instruction. Number six, Genius Hour helps students make connection between content areas. So it breaks down the silos of our content and it helps them see how different disciplines, different topics, different skills connect to one another. And then finally, number seven, I think this is the most important, honestly, is that Genius Hour creates a culture of joy. It honors students. It tells them that who they are matters. It says that their voice is important, that the world needs their voice. And I think that's really important. It's saying to them, you are known, you are valued, and we want what you have to share. So this is the sort of introductory podcast, the big idea here. We're going to be taking a deeper dive into this in the rest of this 6-part series. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you've heard a dog barking or a jingling in the background, I have a Great Dane puppy, and so I just want to apologize. See, she just barked at us. I just want to apologize for that, but thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and go out and make something awesome.